Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, I'm glad to be here. I'm always enjoying your services, and I've enjoyed so many times being a part of you that I feel like I'm almost a part. So thank you for allowing me to come and serve you this morning. Well, I had a godly mother and a godly wife, so I don't have any excuse, do I? I need to be godly. Actually, one of the memories I have of my mother, when I was, I was probably not more than five years old, she believed in praying after the lights were all out and everybody was in bed, and she prayed out loud, and she called my name. I don't know what she said, but to this day, I've never forgotten that. I can't get away from it. She called my name in prayer. And I give a lot of credit to her prayers. And so she lived the last 21 years of her life by herself. My dad passed away, and only now am I beginning to understand how she lived. I'm only understanding that now after losing my wife, what it's like to live alone. I confess I shouldn't have been so ignorant, but I was. I lived close to her there in Newton, and I tried to take very good care of her. But I don't think I ever understood what it was to live by yourself with your spouse gone. But she was so courageous, and she had such a good attitude that it challenges me today and helps me so much today. So she still lives in many ways in my life. And so God has blessed me very greatly, and I just praise Him for it. When she passed away, I kept her Bible, and I kept some of the things that she had in it. And maybe some of this would be a blessing to you as well, but it's a little yellowed now, but it says this, a prayer for those who live alone. I live alone, dear Lord, stay by my side. In all my daily needs, be thou my guide. Grant me good health, for that indeed I pray, to carry on my work from day to day. Keep pure my mind, my thoughts, my every deed. Let me be kind, unselfish in my neighbor's need. Spare me from fire, from flood, malicious tongues, from thieves, from fear, and evil ones. If sickness or accident befall, then humbly, Lord, I pray, hear them on my call. And when I'm feeling low or in despair, lift up my heart and help me in my prayer. I live alone, dear Lord, yet have no fear, because I feel your presence ever near. Amen. I've told many people, I think her final prayers were answered, even though I don't know that she prayed this. I just knew her well enough to know that she didn't want to live in a nursing home. Incapacitated. She'd had a stroke that almost killed her, but she got well enough to go home, and she was able to even drive her car again. And it was a bleeding stroke, and so there's not much they can do about those. So I knew we were kind of sitting on a little bit of a powder keg there, because a bleeding stroke is bad. So one day, she came into my office, which was just down the street about a block, and she said, I'm going to Wichita today on a little bus that was going there to visit with friends. I just want to have lunch. So she bounced out of my office, and I said, well, have fun today, but don't overdo it. And her answer was kind of like, well, how can I have fun if I don't overdo it? She was a very pleasant person. So she bounced out of there, and within, it seemed like just minutes, some people who were working on her house came in the hallway of the church, and they started yelling for me. And I came, I thought, what's going on? Well, your mother needs you. You need to come right away. Apparently, she had driven around the block after she left my office and tried to get in, and they said she couldn't get her key in the door. She's got some problems. Well, I knew right away, so I loaded her in the car and took her to Halstead, and she lived about 24 hours. she had a bleeding stroke, and she didn't have to lay there long. God took her home. That's why I say I think God answered her prayer, that she wouldn't have to lay somewhere and be incapacitated. But she used her years to bless so many people. She was a great cook. She cooked, baked things and took it to people, and everybody remembered so much about her. Well, today I'd like to honor mothers, but also think of the message is going to be about women in the ministry of Jesus. And we don't know that these were all mothers. I'm guessing that probably a lot of them were not mothers. And so we think of women in the ministry of Jesus. But I ran across this as well. Maybe we could smile a little bit. Children, you know, elementary age children can give strange answers sometime. And they were asked, well, why did God make mothers? Well, one said, I think about it, it was the best way to get more people. Another one said, to help us out there when we're getting born. How did God make mothers? Well, God made my mom just like he made me, only he used bigger parts. What ingredients are mothers made of? Well, they had to start from men's bones, but mostly string after that, I think. What kind of little girl was your mom? Well, I don't know because I wasn't there, but I'm guessing she was pretty bossy. Another one said, how did your dad, or how mom meet your dad? And she said, mom was working in a store and dad was shoplifting. Why did your mom marry your dad? Well, my grandma says that mom didn't have her thinking cap on. So I thought, I've got a lot more here. Well, who's the boss at your house? Well, not mom doesn't want to be the boss, but she has to because dad is such a goofball. What's the difference between moms and dads? Well, moms work at work and work at home. Dads just work at work. Moms know how to talk to teachers without scaring them. Dads are taller and stronger, but moms have all the real power because that's how you have to who you have to ask when you want to go to a sleepover. Yeah. Well, describe the world's greatest mom. The greatest mom in the world wouldn't make me kiss my fat aunts. Is there anything about your mom perfect? Well, her casserole recipes, but really I hate them. Well, what would it take to make your mom perfect? Well, on the inside, she's already perfect, but I think some kind of plastic surgery would help. If you could change one thing about your mom, what would it be? Well, to make my mom smarter, then she would know my sister did it and not me. Okay. I thought that was pretty good, didn't you? Yeah, okay. All right, let's pray. Our Father, today, we want to give to you our mothers. First of all, many of our mothers are gone. They're with you, and we thank you for them. We pray for those who are mothers now. You know the great privilege and the responsibilities that they have, perhaps the frustrations. And sometimes they have the feeling that they just can't quite live up to it. Lord, we pray that you'll assure them as they seek your plan, your will, and they love you, they are doing your will, and they are living up to what you want them to do. So, Lord, assure them, give them strength and courage. And, Lord, we pray for those, as we have even in the Bible, some who desired children but never were able to have them. We pray that you'll help them to understand that on this day they're not second class. They are still your children. And we pray that you'll bless them and encourage them. Lord, we pray for those who find themselves, Lord, for one reason or another, without their mate. And we pray that you'll be close to them and help them. Then we pray, Lord, also for those that perhaps have made a wrong turn in life. and they find themselves now expecting a child. Lord, help them not to take the life of that child. Help them, Lord, to know that you will make a way for them. May they look to you. And then, Lord, we also pray for those who through one reason or another, sometimes the pressures of the day, have taken a child that they otherwise would have had. We pray that you'll comfort them. Help them to confess this to you. We know that your blood can wash white as snow. And so we pray your special blessings for them. So we pray whatever the need is. Lord, we think of the mother that lives without the father present for one reason or another. And we pray that you'll give her courage and blessing day by day. Bless our families, Lord, across our land. Help them to live for you. So bless this message and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I've got a lot of scriptures, and they'll be from mainly from the Gospels, of course, where we find Jesus interacting with women. And I think you'll find this very, very encouraging, ladies, as well as men, how women were used in the life and ministry of Jesus, and how to this very day we are blessed by them. If you recall, in Luke chapter 1, and you can turn to these or just write these down perhaps. I'll try to turn as quick as I can myself. But in Luke chapter 1, we have the announcement of Jesus' birth. And in this announcement, for example, in chapter 1, verse 36 rather, "Behold, thy cousin Elizabeth." Now, this is Mary who's expecting a child. And, of course, she was not married to her husband when this took place. She was a virgin, and the Holy Spirit gave her a child. And it says, "Your cousin Elizabeth has conceived a son in old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Verse 38, "And Mary said, Behold, a handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her." In chapter 2 of Luke as well, we have those who understood that Jesus was coming. And if I can get it right here, chapter 2, verse 36 to 38, for example, we have Anna, a prophetess. And she was a widow of about fourscore years in 31, or in 37. And then in 38 says, "She coming in that instance gave thanks unto the Lord and spake of him to all that look for the redemption in Jerusalem." So before his birth even, there were women involved in his life. Now, if we go into John chapter, let's go to John chapter 3. Apparently Jesus, John chapter 8, verses 41 and following. In this chapter, Jesus is trying to tell people that he's God. The Jews by this time are so full of anger. I say the Jews, we need to say the Pharisees, were so much in anger about Jesus that they were trying to kill him. And so in chapter 8, a lot of it is given to the fact that God is his father, and he knows who his father is. But in verse 41, for example, I'm in the wrong chapter. Verse 41 says, Jesus said, "You do your deeds of your father." Then they said unto him, "We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even of God." Well, how do you think Mary dealt with all of this? Probably for a lifetime, she heard, "Oh, your child is illegitimate," or words to that effect. But sweet Mary kept all these things in her heart. Verse 48. "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" That's what they were saying about her beloved son. Well, during the 3 years in Jesus' ministry, Jesus cured many people, and Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, I'll just give it to you there, where Jesus is going to heal Peter's wife's mother. And the issue of blood in chapter 9 as well. And in Matthew 9 as well, verse 18, Jesus raises a young lady, a young maiden, from the dead. And so Jesus has a lot of interaction with women. And I'll just say this now. I read the other day that Dr. Criswell, that was a pastor of First Baptist Church in Dallas for, I don't know, seemed like forever. I think he's gone now. But he said this. He said, I've been preaching for 64 years, and I never realized that not one time did Jesus ever criticize a lady. Not one time in all his ministry, no record that Jesus ever criticized a lady. That didn't mean that they were perfect, but it means he dealt very gently with them. And of course they so many loved him as well. So let's turn to Luke chapter 21. Back to Luke chapter 21. Here is Jesus giving the disciples a lesson. And what does he use? Chapter 21 of Luke, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a poor widow casting in her two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. And here we are over 2,000 years later, and this woman is still an example to us. She sacrificed, and Jesus was trying to teach his disciples a lesson. And who did he go to? This poor widow. She's given us the lesson today. She's given us the sermon today that we need. She was willing to give it all to Jesus. Well, let's turn back again to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. As you know, in Jesus' day, there was such a divide between the Jews and the Gentiles. And I have marked in my Gospels, when I finally began to figure out what was going on, the times when Jesus had a special ministry to Gentiles. Now, a Pharisee would look down his nose at a Gentile. And in fact, they didn't like women very well either. Did you know that in Jesus' day, a woman's testimony in court was never accepted? They didn't believe a woman. And when we look at the resurrection, amazing that God used women, the very people who were rejected at that time, as a testimony. But in chapter 15, this is just one example, and I've tried to mark in my Bible the passages that had to do with just going to the Gentiles. In verse 21 of chapter 15 here, it says that then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. I got written, that's Gentiles, where the Jews did not want to have anything to do with these people. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. Now, the disciples seem like they're wrong more than they're right. Kind of like us sometime. The disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Apparently, she didn't want to give up. And the disciples said, get her out of here. She's bothering us. How blind they were. And I think to myself sometime, how blind am I? And he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Well, that's true. He came to his own first, the Bible says, but his own received him not. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now notice the change in wording here. First she said, Lord, thou son of David. I think he was asking her, can you call me the son of David? Are you qualified to do that? What do you know about the son of David? She worshiped him, and he answering and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. The dogs here would be little house dogs. They're not big hounds. They're little house dogs that pick up the crumbs off the table. Then she said, truth, Lord, yet dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. I believe I'm writing this and saying that Jesus never said those words to a Jewish person. He said those words several times, and each time it is to a Gentile. It's kind of like, you know, wow, the faith of this lady. And when he ministered to his own, wow, they don't like me. And so he said, great is thy faith, woman. Now, there's not a woman here that wouldn't want the Lord to say that about her, is there? Of course you would. We'd all like to have him say that about us. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So Jesus made it known that he loved the world, for God so loved the world, and it didn't make any difference who they were. He loved them. Well, there is a great illustration in, let's go to John chapter 4. You know the story about the woman that Jesus meets there in Samaria, John chapter 4. And keep in mind, when Jesus talks to this lady, he never criticizes her. He never says, like he would say to the Pharisees, you know, you are of your father the devil. He never said that to a woman. In John chapter 4, Jesus meets this woman in Samaria. First of all, to be in Samaria was unusual for a really thorough Jewish person. They would go around it. The Samaritans were a mixed breed of people. They weren't pure Jews like the people in Judea. So a good Jew would walk around it. He didn't want to be contaminated. He didn't want to be close to some of these half-breeds. So Jesus deliberately walks through it. And so he comes to this woman, and he says to her at Jacob's well in verse 9, and then go on down to verse, first of all, she knows who he is. And verse 9 says, the woman said to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealing with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. I'll stop there. You know the story. What happened? Well, there's quite a discussion in that chapter. And here she had been, had five husbands, and now she was living with someone that was not her husband. And when Jesus told her that, I know who you are, he wasn't criticizing her. She knew that was true. But it caught her attention. How did he know that? How did he know my life? How did he know what's on the inside of me? Well, beloved, God knows all of us, doesn't he? He knows everything about us. There's nothing he doesn't know. And it grabbed her attention as you read through the chapter. She believed on him. And I'm going to say it this way. I think he loved her into the kingdom, don't you? He just loved her into the kingdom. And she came out a different person. And many others in the town who knew what kind of a reputation she had knew that she was so changed. They went out to see him for themselves. And they said, we believe on him too. So God uses this woman, a very unlikely prospect, first of all, to bring her to himself, loved her until she opened her heart to him. And then she was able to lead many other people to Christ by her life and by what she said. So many different illustrations we could give. Let's go back to Luke again. You realize that women had a special care in taking care of Jesus. Luke chapter 8. It says, and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom 7 devils were cast, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's servant, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their what class? Their substance. They wanted to make sure that he had food to eat. Maybe they made sure that he had clothes to wear. I mean, he was a human being. He had needs like everybody else. And God has gifted women in a special way to take care of people like that. And so they ministered, and we could go to other verses as well that kind of show us that as well. Well, I want to turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11, you know this story as well. Lazarus and Mary and Martha, sisters and brother, lived at Bethany, just a few miles outside of Jerusalem. And Lazarus, of course, got sick, and Jesus was away at the time. And they sent a message, Lazarus is sick and you need to come. And the Bible says he deliberately kind of hung back. He waited. Finally decided to go, and the disciple says, well, it's probably too late now. Besides, last time we were in Jerusalem, they were about to kill you. And if we go back there, this may be the end. Well, Jesus said, let's go. So they went anyway. And of course, in that wonderful chapter, you have the conversation with both Martha and Mary. They're weeping, they're heartbroken. And again, we don't know. Apparently, these two ladies did not have a family and children. We don't know that for sure. But they took care of their brother Lazarus as well. And apparently, they lived together. And they loved Jesus, and Jesus loved them. It was a place for Jesus to come and stay when he came to Jerusalem. And so it was a very, very wonderful relationship. In verse 24, Martha says, she said, first of all, if you'd have come earlier, you could have saved his life. But it's too late now. Well, she said, Jesus said, he'll rise again. And Martha says, I know he will rise again in the last day. Now, I want to point out something here that I think is often overlooked. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We're talking about a physical resurrection here. And Martha says, I know he'll rise at the last day. And Jesus said, yeah. And at that last day, what he's saying is that last day, whosoever liveth on that last day shall never die. That's called the second coming of Jesus. And I'm kind of looking for that. I'd like that, wouldn't you? The dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we'll be caught up together. That's what Jesus is saying to her. Well, they go on through, and verse 33 says, Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. I heard a preacher just the other day say that that groaning in the spirit and trouble was like anger. Jesus was very upset. What was he upset about? I think he was upset about death. The Bible says death is an enemy, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Someday there's going to be a funeral for death. That's going to end it. So death is an enemy. I've heard people say, well, death is a friend. Well, if you're in pain, I'm sure to some degree that could be true, but death is an enemy. And when these sisters were weeping, the only verse in the Bible that we have directly here about this, Jesus wept. What did he do? I think he wept with them. And when we go to our funeral, I went to a funeral Friday of a man who lost his wife after 50-some years. When we weep, he weeps with us. He wept with Mary and Martha. And many times you don't have to say anything. Just weep with people. Identify with people, which Jesus did here. By the way, have you wondered what Lazarus did while he was dead and Jesus raised him? I've wondered. We have no record in the scripture where he ever talked about that. Maybe it was like Paul when he got lifted to the third heaven. He said, I saw things there that I can't really describe to you. Maybe that's what it was. But anyway, Jesus raised him, of course, from the dead. Well, I just talked through these final points. At Jesus' trial, betrayal, the Bible says the disciples all forsook him. But when we get to the cross itself, we have women that are there. They have stayed there right with him. And in John chapter 19, we have apparently the apostle John had found his way back to the crucifixion after leaving. He came back in John chapter 19. We have Jesus speaking from the cross. And he said about John's mother, said, let me get this right. Jesus said, well, let's turn to it. John 19:25. There stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And what he was saying is, John, I want you to take care of my mother. After I'm gone, take care of my mother. He saith also to the disciple, that's John, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. So Jesus prepares for his leaving and thinks of his mother. She's there by the cross. She hasn't left him. She will pay any price because she, as a mother and as a godly mother, loved him. Well, at the burial, the women observed where he was buried, and being the Sabbath day, they didn't have time to completely anoint him with the spices, so they looked where it was, and they said, we'll come back the next morning. And they did, and when they came, what'd they find? He was gone. The next morning, he was missing. And in Matthew chapter 28, the angel said, Go tell his disciples. And in Luke 24, it says the disciples did not believe them. It seemed like idle tales. In some ways, we might say if women hadn't announced the resurrection, we'd have never heard it. But they were the first to announce it. And the disciples said, you're dreaming. He's dead. So many times Jesus had tried to tell them about. And it reminds me that in John in John 12, where Mary anoints the feet of Jesus. She breaks this spikenard ointment. It was about a year's wages. And she anoints the feet of Jesus. And she washes his feet with her hair. And Judas Iscariot and the disciples all said, "Why was this waste made? It could have been sold and we could have fed the poor." They all said it. Jesus said, you leave her alone. Leave her alone. First of all, he said, she has done what she could. And what he meant was, that's not all she could. She has been extravagant in her love to me. She wanted to give it all to me. She was extravagant in her love to me. Wherever this gospel shall be preached, it shall also be told of this woman, what she did for him. So many. And finally, we think about Jesus just loving women in some sense into the kingdom. In Luke chapter 7, we got the story of a Pharisee who invited Jesus into his house. And this woman, who was a great sinner, came in behind and she began to weep and wash his feet with her tears and dry them with her hair. And Simon, the righteous man, he's thinking to himself, if Jesus knew who this was, he wouldn't let her do that. He was thinking, but Jesus knew what Simon was thinking. So Jesus turns to Simon and says, "See this lady? I came into your house. You didn't even invite me to wash my feet, which was customary in that time. You didn't give me a kiss of love. She hasn't ceased to kiss my feet." Simon, if you have two debtors and one owes a lot and the other one owes just a little bit, and they're both forgiven, which will love him the more? And Simon says, "Well, I guess the one who was forgiven the most." Of course he had to say it. And Jesus said, "Look at this lady. She was forgiven much. That's why she loved much." Simon needed to be forgiven. He just didn't have enough sense to know it. But Jesus loved that woman again, right into the kingdom. The final illustration I might give to you is in John chapter 8. And here we have the lady that was brought to Jesus, taken in the very act of adultery. And the righteous Pharisees, all they wanted to do was get Jesus in the corner. If he said she needs to be stoned to death, they would accuse him of no mercy and love. If he let her go, they would accuse him of breaking the law. Haven't you often wondered what happened when Jesus stooped down and wrote in the ground? And they all began to leave. Finally, she was there by herself. All by herself, Jesus there. Keep in mind, she'd been dragged in there against her will. Jesus said, "Where are your accusers? Hath no man accused you?" She said, "No." Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse you. Go and sin no more." Jesus wasn't condoning what she did. You know why I think Jesus knew that her heart was changed? If it hadn't been changed, she wouldn't have stayed there with him. She'd have run. She didn't have to stay there. She wanted to stay there. Her heart had been changed. She saw something in this man that she had never seen before. And Jesus knew that her heart was open toward him. And again, I say, Jesus loved her into the kingdom. May God help us today to love people, to love those who are down and out, to appreciate what God does for us in our families, to love them to the very end. Speak to Lord. Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts and close the service. Lord, we thank you for your goodness today. And Lord, I've stumbled around a lot trying to get this across, but I pray that you'll help us today. Help us to live today to love you. We thank you for the example of women. And where would we be today in so many ways if we didn't have the testimony and witness of these who've gone before us? And so, Lord, we thank you that you have died for sinners, men and women, and that you want us today to come to you. Thank you for every good gift. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.